today for Resurrection Sunday. Okay, you know, our class has been about transition. Okay, the New Testament has a transition period, and all of those things that were being transitioned, well, what about resurrection? Okay, and what about coming from death to life and the transitioning of that? Okay. Here's what we leave up here, because when we say that before Jesus there was an old covenant, okay, that's the Moses covenant. When we say after Jesus, that's the new covenant, Moses to Messiah. If you're a Hebrew, that's what's in your mind. That's what you think about, okay? And the Christ event, we say, not just the cross. Some people say the cross, but you know what they mean, okay? Even as we hear today, if Jesus would have just died on the cross and never come out of the tomb, then what are you called in the Bible by Paul?
Most pitiful.
That's right. Most pitiful and foolish, okay? But we're not, okay? We serve a risen Savior. So look, that's the point. And so the point is that when you say the Christ event, we understand certain things about Jesus that we summarize them and say it's when he did his messianic work, okay? He was born a certain way, right? Yes. He lived a certain way. Yes, right, sinlessly. He had to suffer. The Bible said he was going to suffer. Then he had to die, and he died a certain way. And then he rose, and then he ascended, and then he reigned first over his people, and now as his presence permeates his whole people, he reigns over everybody, okay? He does that. All of those things are part of the picture. So the question for today is, from death to life, what does that mean? Does it mean something different from you to you and me today, 2,000 years later, as opposed to those who were with him then? Was there a transition going on during the New Testament about death and life? So I'll let you, whatever you hear from me, do you believe it? No. Do you reject it? No. What do? Go check it out. Go check it out. Because I'm just learning too. So what do we mean by definitions of death and life? Okay. Let me tell you, most of the time, most people, they will be taught that death means what kind of death? Most of the time, I think you'll agree that most of the time, the death that you were saved from is what kind of death? Physical death, okay? And what's the solution for your physical death when you die? Physical resurrection. Not yet, but one of these days on resurrection morning. Okay, is that true? Is that the only death there is in the Bible? No, I think I'm going to show you the Bible shows you it's not the only type of death. And in fact, is it the most important death? I think you're going to see that that's not the most important death, okay? There's a hermeneutical principle, which hermeneutics is nothing more than the science of studying the Bible. And one of the first hermeneutical principles is the law of first mention. The law of first mention. You ever heard when C.F., he's now gone through Genesis twice since he's been here, and he uses a statement, I think rightly, from the pulpit. He says, all of the principles of the Bible, you can find them in the book of Genesis, okay? Genesis lays out a lot of things, and then the rest of it, sometimes they're repeated or whatever. But there is a hermeneutical principle that says, okay, that's the law of first mention. When something is mentioned in the Bible in Genesis, you best take note of it and watch for it to be a recurring theme. Watch for it to be a recurring theme, okay? What about the firstborn who's supposed to be the first in the line of inheritance and blessings and all that? Do you see that that did not happen in the Bible in Genesis early on? What about Genesis 4? What happened in the firstborn versus the secondborn?
Cain killed Abel.
Cain killed Abel. Firstborn kills the secondborn. Might have been born together, but he still, no doubt, Cain kills Abel. Okay, and then you also get that with other places. So I don't want to get down that road. I'm going to stay where I am. Law first mentioned. But here's what I want to talk about today, the definition of death. The definition of death. I've got two definitions of when death is first mentioned in the Bible. The first is out of Young's literal translation. If you don't use a literal translation, you ought to have one, because a literal translation will just tell you what the words mean. They will not give you your editor gloss about it, okay? And that can sometimes, it of course, carries bias. But here's the Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, when the man is put into the garden, and it says, and of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou dost not eat of it, for in the day of your eating of it, dying you dost die. Okay? All right, let me read another one. This comes from the Douay Rheims, okay, which is another ancient Bible, okay? And here's the way it says those last words. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in what day soever thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt die the death. Does that give you any kind of clue about that? What kind of death maybe it was? It should, okay? It should, because later, one chapter later, when Adam and Eve do eat of that tree, and God said, in the day that you eat of it, okay, in what day soever you eat of it, you will die the death, or dying you will die. Did they?
Not physically.
Okay, well, still answer my question.
Spiritually,
there you go. Right on. See, he knows the answers already. But the point is, who told them that they would die in the day they eat of it? Yahweh. Who told them they would not die in the day that they would eat of it? The Nakash, that serpent, okay, that being that was there. He said, did God really say you can't eat it? So no, in the day we're going to die. He said, you will surely not die. So who was right?
They both were.
Okay, we got a position that says they both were. How so?
Well, we already said how Yahweh was correct. They would die spiritually, but Satan was correct that they would not die because they did not die physically.
Okay, so does that lead us to think that Satan, the Nakash, was right about the type of death Yahweh said they would die? Well, that's where we're going here. We're trying to figure out what death Yahweh meant that they would die in the day. So you've got to ask yourself again, who was right? Okay. Well, look, Yahweh was right because Yahweh was not talking about physical death. Some people believe, I was taught, were you taught this? That in the garden, there was no death before man sinned. Okay, I was taught that. And in fact, lions didn't eat sheep and roses didn't have no thorns on them. And there wasn't no mosquitoes and slugs and bugs. That's what I was taught. And one day we're going to have that again. Well, look, that's not what the Bible's about. What the Bible was about was a relationship between Yahweh and man. Okay? He brought him in. They're in a covenant relationship. And he gave them all this freedom, as we've talked about in here before. He gave them all that freedom. And he said, there's only one thing you can't do. And that's eat of this tree of the knowledge and good and evil. I learned in 1982 as a young Christian from Gary North. He explained what knowledge of good and evil is, and it means the determiner of that. It doesn't mean you'll just know it. Some people believe you go to heaven, you're going to have all the knowledge immediately zipped into. Well, is that true? That's not even the kind of knowledge the Bible says is important. The knowledge the Bible says is important is not cognition. You're going to know something. What is the important kind of knowledge in the Bible?
Relationship.
Relationship. Relationship. Who knows you and who you know? Okay? Nobody's ever saved by knowing about God or whatever. You got to be known by Him. All right, so anyway, so there you go. I submit that there, whatever you want to say about in the garden, if they were eating and digesting and doing other things, bodily functions, there was death going on. Okay? Whatever you want to call it. But the death had not entered the garden. The death enters the garden at a certain moment in Genesis 3. I'm going to prove to you, I think, that the Bible teaches that death means separation from God. Death, the death of the Bible, the death means separation from God. And let's just see if that holds up. Here's the definitions here. I've got here the death, under death and life. Death and life. Death and life. Why do I use a definite article? Because the Bible uses a definite article. You see here in the Douay Rheims, you shall die the death. Okay? He says it differently in Young's literal, dying, you will die. Okay? But whenever there's a definite article, you ask yourself, which is the that's there? So here's your question, the death, is it physical? Is it spiritual? Is it separation? Ran out of room. Is that what Yahweh was talking about? Or was he only talking about physical death? And life, when you're talking about life, the life that you have now, we're all physically alive, of course, but do you have any other life right now? As a Christian, you have life as properly defined, and we're going to look at what that is. Let's just say what it is. The life Does that mean physical or spiritual through a resurrection? I hope you would say that the real life that matters in the Bible is not your physical life. It's your relationship life. It's your spiritual life. It's your connected to God life. And so, is all you're waiting on is one day on what we might say is resurrection morning, and you'll get, what's it going to look like? A buff body that I look like I've been working out, but you know I hadn't been. Is that it? Is that? I mean, you know, when I was a young Christian, these people were in our Sunday school, and they said, they asked the question about Adam and the belly button. What's that question? You ever had that? What is it? What's the question? Did Adam have one? Well, when do you go down that road? You go down that road because you say, well, he wasn't done through an umbilical cord. God did it, so did he. That ain't even the life we're talking about. That's not even the death we're talking about. It don't matter. It doesn't matter, okay? But the life, and what I mean by that is life eternal. The word for eternal in the Bible is aionos. Ion is like eon. It's a period of time, okay? And whenever the New Testament describes that life, it usually said it's the life aionos or aionon, and we just say eternal. What it really means is unto the age, okay? Because there's an age that Jesus brought, and that age is a never-ending age. And when you have the life, you'll never die for that whole age. And that's a never-ending age. Can you wrap your head around that? Well, you should. That's what those words mean. So once again, we ask the question, is it a physical life that you get? Is it a spiritual life? And you get spiritual life through a resurrection or an equivalent event. Okay? That's the question. All right, so what have you been taught? Have you ever been taught that death is the death? You know why you haven't been much? Because your New Testaments, they just put life and death, and they don't put a definite article many times where it is. They don't put it in there. And I can show you, I'll show you some examples, but in a minute. But that's the point, okay? So I propose to you that you think about what the Hebrew mindset definition of death was, and I think you're going to find consistently it is a definition of separation from Yahweh, separation from God. If we're right that when Yahweh told them that in the day that you eat of it, that you will die the death or dying, you will die, then when did that happen? After chapter 2, chapter 3, right? And just generally, what's the story? When did they die?
They ate of it,
okay. Eve ate of it first. She was deceived, okay? We know that from 1 Timothy 2:14. She was deceived. Adam also took, she gave and he ate. When did he die? He died right there, okay? And what was his excuse? Was he deceived?
It was that wall that he gave.
That's what he later said. And yet we know from that same verse in 1 Timothy 2:14 that he was not deceived. So he knew. He had been told by Yahweh. He knew. So his was a willful sin. And if you know anything about Old Testament sin, willful sin, there's no way to get out of it. Ignorant sin, there is. Not willful. You got to pay the price. And what was the price? What did Yahweh say would be the price to pay if he... The death. Okay? The death. And so did he get it? That's the question. Comment.
Say, this is why it's important to grasp what was creation, a physical creation, or was it
yes.
functional creation? Because
yes.
That back in the mind of the engineers, they would have understood
yes.
order and function being given to something as
yes.
being created, not what we think of as
yes.
a magical poof, oh, here's a thing, here's dirt, here's land, here's bird.
Yes.
And there was, we know there was water there, it was described.
Yep.
Often dismiss that, but if it was a functional creation,
yes.
it was death, it was in a way a functional death. It was no longer a garden, there was no.
Yes. Which is relationship. Yeah. See, she introduced a term that's a fantastic term. You got to have it as function. Okay. Functional. That whole thing about what the garden was about, it was the way to functionally and properly serve Yahweh, worship Yahweh, bear the name of Yahweh, which is not unto vanity. You ever heard that in the Old Testament? Not before the fall, you didn't. But after the fall, everything anybody did was vanity. Which means what? What's other synonyms?
Selfish.
Worthlessness.
Selfish,
worthless, vain, futile. Nothing good for God. Well, that's what working not with God is, without that relationship. And so I'm just proposing to you that widen your mind and say, is physical, is that really what it was all about? I'm telling you, I don't think Genesis 2 or 3 teaches that. It teaches relationship is what it was all about. The relationship is what makes man be able to function. Okay, and I say man, humans, man and woman together. What do we learn about, just as a quick aside, what do we learn about the man and his ability to function before he had someone who could finish him? What did God say about that?
He wasn't functional.
He was dysfunctional. God said it's not good that he be alone. Not because he needed somebody to hug him. No, he just did his work. He couldn't work. He couldn't do God's work without being complete. Okay? And Garrett's got to do a study one time in here where you talk about that word completer or helper or finisher, whatever you want to say. It's only mentioned of Eve, the woman, and of Yahweh himself. Isn't that's so good? That's the position that it took for man to be functionally operative. And the whole thing that she has talked about is that's what God's did. They took chaos and they made order. I mean, they took chaos and made a cosmos. Yes. Okay. So look, that's what's going on. That's what's going on. Now, I want us to go look. First of all, when we ask the type of life that Jesus gives, don't you think we got to know what kind of death was taken away from man? Because they got to be the same. That's where this is so important. So I want you to take your Bibles and let's go to John 17. We're going to start there with the life. And then we'll show you in the Old Testament. I already am giving you one example of the death. The death occurred in Genesis 3, the first death in the Bible, where man sinned. And man was, what happened to him? How long could he stay? Not even that day. Okay? In the day that he ate of it, he's out. He's out. And then we could ask, when does he come back in? Let's go to John 17. Let's see what Jesus interprets as the life. Okay, the context is Jesus, high priestly prayer. We just had the upper room discourse, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16. Now they're leaving, and he's going to have his prayer, and then he's going to his passion and his crucifixion and all that. So, Garrett, will you read? He's the one that taught this to me, and it just strikes me as the place to go when you want to know what the life means. Is it just a physical resurrection or a physical reincarnation or a physical... whatever. 17. Start where at 1 and go through.
These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life. And this is the eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
Okay, so look, here's what I like to say, okay? This is what it means right here, okay? The eternal life, or the life to the age, the life, ionos, reaching age, is to know Yahweh and to know Yeshua, okay? That's the life. That's the life. Does that hold up to scrutiny? That's the question, okay? There's no doubt that's it, but maybe for resurrection, does it mean something else? We're going to go look at John 11 in a minute. But that's the definition of what Jesus said is the life. That they know Yahweh and they know the one He has sent. Right? Know Yahweh, know Yeshua. How else do you know Yahweh? Is there only one way? Yeah. Yeah. Pretty exclusive. But it's... the most inclusive, exclusive that there is, okay? But that's the only way to know Yahweh is to know Jesus, Yahweh in the flesh. So that's why I'm saying, Have you ever thought about that? And look, did you notice in verse 3, does your Bible have, and this is eternal life, or does it have, and this is the eternal life? What do you have?
No, the.
Well, put it in there, okay? Put it in there because it's important, all right? This is the definition of the life. The life to the age. That's really what it says, and it's a different word. If you remember in high school, you did biology. Bios is a word in the Greek that means what kind of life? Biological life. Okay, is that the kind of life you think this is? No. This is a different word called zao or zoo, and we get our word zoology from that, but it's the life that you used about a relationship life with God this way. You know God, you know Yahweh by knowing Jesus. And that's not knowing about Him. We already talked about it. It's not cognition. You know, one day He just zaps your brain and says, hey, let me introduce myself. Madam, I'm Adam. You know, no, I'm Yahweh. No, it's a relational knowledge. Relational knowledge. Okay? So, that's it right there. And I don't know when people teach through John whether or not they focus on this, but whenever he says, this is the eternal life, that they may know you, that means they have to have the relationship with you.
Okay, quick question.
Comment.
This is Romans 6:23, the way it's
in. Romans 6.
Let's
look. Maybe I got it in there. Okay, somebody look. I don't have a literal translation, but many times in Romans it does. Okay? Romans 6, what's the verse? Absolutely. 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 I'm looking to see if I've got it stuck in there. Okay.
6:23.
Yeah, I've got it penciled in, so you must have said it.
Okay, we must have studied through it. But it is. Okay, here's what it says. For the wages of the sin is the death, and the gift of God is eternal life, or life to the age, in Christ Jesus our Lord. So yes, the sin and the death are both articular.
So that's going back to Genesis. Like
yes.
The sin is eating the fruit.
Yes.
The
sin is disobeying God via, absolutely. Now look, does that not change your idea? It should change your idea about just what Jesus came to take care of. Well, first of all, if Jesus took our sins upon Him on the cross, why do you still got some? Because He didn't do a very good job. But did He take the sin on Himself on the cross? Yes. So do you commit that sin? No. No. In fact, go read the book of 1 John where it says in there, Christians, do not sin. Well, follow me around. How can that be? Because the type of sin he's talking about is that sin from the garden, which is a sin of disobedience to God, a sin of not believing, the sin of not having faith. That's it. So when you think of the sin and you think of the death, now you're getting the right thing. We'll go look at 1 Corinthians 15 too. Come in.
And I'm good with the distinction just making. And I think this is where we create difficulty for ourselves because we, for obvious reasons, we fixate on sin.
Yeah.
And yet, when you read, you know, as we've started to look at recently, because CF called it out 2 weeks ago, the 1 John 3:8, we looked at his purpose, which was what?
Yes, destroy the works of the devil.
You go through it and you see even in that final resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15.
Yes.
The thing that's addressed is the death.
Yes.
The death is
yes.
gone.
Yes.
In his kingdom with his people, the death is no more.
The death
right?
is
and
no
more.
Right,
and so we see the power of, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin, the law.
Yes.
The death is what was, I mean, sin was bad. Sin was, I mean, Paul deals with that, right?
In yes.
Express terms, but.
Yes.
It's interesting to me if we start to perhaps consider that sin's not the enemy at the end of it. What's called the enemy is death.
Yes.
That's
yes.
what he fixes.
Yes.
That's what he eliminates from his kingdom.
Yes. Yes.
He deals with the rest.
Yes. And how is that eliminated from you? By you, like, obeying God? Even for a minute? No. It's by Him having obeyed and people are put into His body. He's the head. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. You heard Garrett just quote that. So go to 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. Let's look at the very end of that chapter, and the question that is on the table from Brian is going to be showed to you right here as well. It's excellent to see what Paul talks about, and let's pick it up at verse number 54. 54, 1 Corinthians 15, 54. Somebody else read, and tell us your translation. Who's ever got one? Okay.
New King James.
Okay.
So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's it. That's good. Okay, so look, begin there at 54, and at the end of it, when it says, when this mortal, when this new creation has occurred, okay, when corruption is done, immortality is now there, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, and New King James says, death is swallowed up in victory. Guess what's in front of death? The death. It's a Greek word, ha. Sometimes it's like a mister. Mr. Death. The death. Well, who is Mr. Death? Which one is the death? It's the one we're talking about. And then it quotes, okay, it's quoting Hosea, which we got on the screen. O death, which is, O Hades, where's your sting? Where's your victory? And the answer is, you got none. You got no victory. You got no grave. They did. They had that for all the way up to Jesus. You know, they had it. But that's what Paul is saying. This is about to be happening. This is about to be done. And then on 56, if you don't have it, write it in here. The sting of the death is the sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. Which law is he talking about? Mosaic. It's in 613. Wish there was more than 613. That's just what those people wrote down. Okay, look, the strength of the sin was the law. It's still that way today. Somebody says, you're on an airplane flight. We used to talk. They say, don't disable the smoke things in the bathroom. Well, I never even thought of that till they say it. Okay, all of us do that. Don't do this. Well, now I'm thinking about it. But look, that's not the Mosaic law could only bring the sin, which results in the death. That's the death we're talking about. This is the death, the separation from God, the death that the whole Bible talks about. It's not about you and you getting your little physical buff body. It's about God reconciling humanity back to Himself, not to be lost.
You might address our verse 26 back there as well. Right?
Comment on it. Let's take back to it. 26. Go back to 26.
Same.
Yes.
Chapter.
Yes, same chapter. 15. And let's read that, okay? But it's talking about, is this the last enemy one? Okay, so hey, tell me, what is this enemy in 26? Well, first 25, for he, Jesus, must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy being destroyed, if you don't have it, you need to write it. The last enemy being destroyed is the death. Okay? The last enemy being destroyed is the death. Which one? Which one was Jesus destroying? He destroyed it for himself when he rose from the dead. Okay? I mean, or he proved it. He proved it when he rose from the dead. But what about any of his disciples? When did they get past having the death controlling them to where they got the life? Where would you posit that for his first disciples? At least Pentecost, you would say that, right? Yes, when they get the Spirit. And yet that's just a down payment, we're told. Oh, wait, you may go back to John chapter 5, where Jesus said, any man who believes in me has passed from death, and he now has life eternal. Well, how could they do that? Because Jesus hadn't even died, rose, anything yet. Well, we studied on that. But okay, so the point is here, Paul is clear about what he's talking about. In Romans, it's the death caused by the sin brought on by the law. Same thing you got right here in 1 Corinthians 15. It's the death. It's not your physical death. I would go look for it. I think it's in Acts, but it talks about after Jesus arose from the dead, he was the first to rise from the dead. And then he appeared to those who were chosen beforehand. Well, if I'm a skeptic and I say, see, the Bible's inconsistent, because Jesus, was he the first to rise from the dead? Yes or no?
Yes.
Well, yes, if you believe the Bible. Well, explain to me then, what about Eutychus later? What about the widow? What about the ones Jesus rose from? What about Lazarus? What about that? Well, tell me.
Well, their death didn't solve anything.
Not only that, it just says physical death is nothing.
Physical death is nothing. It's not the death the Bible's talking about. Say it that way better. But although you're right. Jesus is the death, and man's the death, is the one that had to be overcome. When it says he's going to destroy the last enemy, that last enemy was separation of God death. It was that. What about when Jesus was on the cross, okay, and it said that the earthquake, and how many people were resurrected, and they were in the tombs, but they didn't come into the city till after Jesus' resurrection. What do you do with that? Matthew 27. Same answer. They did not rise from the death. They were not yet reconciled to God. Because Jesus is the first that has to be reconciled to God, and then others are put into Him. He's got to be the first. But what was their purpose? Same purpose as Jesus. Proof. Visible proof. Vindicating proof. I think. You know, it's interesting. They didn't come during the 3 days and three nights Jesus was in the tomb, even though it says they were raised, but they stayed and they didn't come into the city till after Jesus' resurrection. What do you think?
Okay, so this is just another perception.
Yes.
I'm thinking about my parents' perceptions of these debates.
Yeah.
I feel like I got for them.
Absolutely.
Just, there's a lot of self here.
Yes.
But it's like, so Satan and his minions.
Yes.
It's all about keeping us separated. Mm-hmm. Therefore, all of that is sin.
Yeah.
Right. So yes. That all of a sudden there's just a moment of clarity for me on that.
Yes.
Because it's like the ultimate enemy is separation, which is the whole goal.
To be overcome. The goal is back to.
The goal of the Satan and
His goal.
That's the Amen. Deepest separated. So that is the sin.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. I mean, he definitely caused there to be the sin. Because he and Hebrews had their own idea about why he rebelled, okay, and what his purpose was, and so forth. So, but it fits with what we're asking the question. What death was it? It wasn't physical death. It was separation death, okay? And that does. That brings in other questions. Do you believe that Adam was created immortal? And that he, if he wouldn't have sinned, he would have lived forever? Because he lived 930 years. John, what about that? He lived 930. What if he would have, could he have lived some more? Well, look, John is a master of metaphors, and you have to understand that living for 1,000 years is a big deal, and living for 1,000 years means immortality, incorruptibility, having life to the age, which is the age we live in, which is a never-ending age, and if you have it, you now have life to the age. And those people in this transition period, they didn't yet have it. They had a down payment on it from Pentecost until Holocaust. But when they got to their consummation, they got it. They got it, whether they had already died or they were alive. They got it. That's what happened. Now look, I gotta prove to you. So go back to the left, go find Matthew, find Daniel and go to the right. Daniel is Hosea next to him. I want to prove to you that the Old Testament definition of death, of the death, is separation from God. Go find Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Turn to Hosea chapter number 13. Because where we just were when I read to you that resurrection passage, Paul's quoting Hosea. Well, let's go see what he says. All right. I can't read the whole thing, but you ought to read it. Hosea is preaching to the 10 tribes. They've already split 10 tribes to the north, 2 tribes left in the south. And he's saying, y'all are going to get so bad that Yahweh's going to kill you. You're going to die. You are going to die, Ephraim and your 10 tribes. So look, let me just go down to the verse where it talks about it. Is in 13:1. Ephraim spoke. This is the 10 tribes. Ephraim spoke. There was trembling. He was trembling. He exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended through, what do you got? When he offended through Baal
worship,
what did he do?
He died.
Well, how did he die? How did a country die? How did a tribe die? They died through idolatry away from Yahweh. They broke the first commandment. I'm the Lord your God, and no others before me. It's a covenant death. That's what Adam had. The death was a spiritual death, separation death, covenant death. That's what he's saying. So what do you say here? How did Ephraim die? He died in a spiritual sense. He died in a separation sense. He died in a covenantal sense. That's what he did. And then now they sin more and more. Now this was back then. Now they sin more and more. They die more and more. And what did Yahweh ultimately do with that top, with those 10 tribes? Killed them. Moved them out. They separated from him. And then if you read here in this chapter, he also promises them that in the last days he'd bring them back. Back to life. Back to life. Back to the life. What does that mean? Back into a relationship through resurrection. Well, look, that's what death meant. That's what death meant. Okay? It's separation from God, out of the land. Living in the land, life. Out of the land, death. Comment.
Can we rewind seven yes. chapters to six?
Yes.
Because the first few verses there deal with
Amen.
All this, right?
Amen. Amen. Six is where you get one place in the Old Testament where it talks about something that we take for granted. Go ahead and read, starting with one. I presume I know where you're going.
Yeah, one. It's come, let us return to Yahweh. And 6:1. Let us return to Yahweh, for he is torn, but he will heal us. He is wounded, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day, that we may live before him. So let us know, let us press on to know Yahweh.
Okay.
The third day, and it's the corporate they are raised.
It's a corporate life raised from what he has done. He has torn, okay, he has stricken, they're done. They're dead to him. They're dead to him. It's the same theme all the way through. You know Hosea. He gets the harlot wife from the very first chapter. And it's a picture, though, that Yahweh will be faithful. His people ain't faithful, but he will be faithful. And this is where you get raising us up on the third day, okay? On the third day, he'll raise us up. Raise us up is resurrection. It's resurrection. From what? From being torn, from being stricken, from being dead to God. And how long did they have to wait? Well, they were taken out of the land in 700 BC. Wait 700 years, and it's going to come. You're going to get it. You know? Anyway. That's what we're talking about. That's where, and this goes along with the theme. This goes along with the theme. We could go to other places because whenever Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 15, it's a great verse where he says, I tell you what was given to me, that according to the Scriptures, Jesus died and he rose again. According to which Scriptures is Paul quoting? There wasn't but one then. It's the Old Testament. So where do you find death and resurrection in the Old Testament? Hosea's a place. Daniel's there, Ezekiel's there, Isaiah's there, but mostly you find it, you have to look in the Old Testament. Okay? Okay, last one, go to John 11. Comments as we turn to John 11. I mean, does this make sense to you that this is not about your physicality? This is not about you one day going to be able to just come back and walk through a wall or don't have to put locks on your doors because it don't matter? I mean, you know, is that it? Really? No. No.
You know, it speaks to, in my mind, all this discussion, it speaks to our natural and obvious, you know, it's understandable, fear of physical death, right?
Yes.
And yet, if you read Tolkien's work, you know, as he laid out Middle-earth for the Lord of the Rings, all that stuff, and then it's so brilliant, the creation of the earth, you know, you've got these angels, these elves who are essentially angelic beings.
Okay, yep.
Basically, well, and they look on at the creation of man, and they're flustered by it. So what is this guy? He's a vapor. He lasts about 70 years and he's gone.
Really?
As compared to these elves that live on. And it's not unlike, in my mind, First Peter is a man. These things, they don't understand it. And yet what's revealed to him is this is a blessing. This is a mercy. It's a gift to man. That he lasts this long. And then he comes up.
Yeah.
And he comes up and spends the rest of his eternity with God. And,
yeah.
You know, so...
Yeah,
there is that other view which he presents there, and I think it's appropriate here. I mean,
yeah, 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 right, right. And so from Adam first, Adam 1 to Adam 2, who had that blessing? Nobody. I might give you Enoch and Elijah. I don't know, but nobody had the blessing of being reconciled back to God, living in His presence. Nobody. 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 All right, last thing, John 11, is this is the Lazarus. He's talking to Martha. Okay, the verse we're going through, 24. And I want you to see that, or ask yourself this. Is resurrection for you if you already have the life? Who is resurrection for during this transition period? Who is the resurrection for? First of all, there's no doubt resurrection was promised to Israel. Israel was promised a resurrection because they had, under Moses, they had the relationship. That relationship was lost by the northern tribes, the southern tribes, by all of them. Lost. The second Adam comes, and he, as the corporate Israel, as the singular Israel, he gets the relationship back. But my question is, what about us, which if we already have the life? And do you have the life? That gets into security. Can you lose the life? Depending on what church you grew up in, some people teach you that, of course you can lose the life. You can lose it. Just sin and don't repent. Catholics, you better go to confession. Okay, Church of Christ people, don't you watch that woman and then die in a car wreck. You're done. No, no. Once you have the life, you don't lose the life. Even if you look like you don't have the life sometimes. Okay, well, let's see the verses. Let's pick it up. Let's pick it up at 11:20. Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went and met him. Mary was sitting in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." What kind of death is she thinking of?
Physical
death. "But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Now look, she's already listened to Jesus for 3 years. She knows, I think, what she's talking about, and you got to understand what she's talking about. Jesus, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "I know." Does she know? Is she saying right? "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." That's a true statement. She knows that. She knows that. Okay? Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Interesting. Two things. I'm the resurrection and the life. Well, for the resurrection, he who is believing in me, and if you don't have is believing, you ought to write it in there. It's a present, passive, ongoing thing. He who is believing in me, though he may die, he shall live. That's resurrection. If they are dead, okay, they will get resurrection. And 26, and whoever is living and is believing in me shall never die. Do you believe this? What's Jesus talking about? What kind of life? Physical? So he's going to raise Lazarus, and is that a big deal? That's a big deal, but does what it portrays a bigger deal? This is what it's portraying, okay? That Jesus has the power of life or death. In fact, he gets mad at them later and he snorts at them that they don't understand what he's talking about. But let's just stop here and we'll just say, okay, do you see what he's saying? Resurrection is for those who are dead. The life is for those that makes them come alive. And I think Jesus at this time is talking about bringing together in him the dead ones, which is the old covenant that die under Moses, and also the new covenant ones that don't die, they get life, and they all end up becoming the one man that Jesus came to make the new creation. That's what I asked to think about, okay? Who was the resurrection for, and who gets the life? And once you have the life, can you understand and believe that you're not going to die? You are going to die, but you're not going to die the death. Is that better? You're going to die. We're all going to die physically, okay? But you're not going to die the death. You've been raised. When? When you were born from above. That's your resurrection. There's nothing better. Your buff body don't mean nothing, okay? That you might be told you're going to get. No, you have the life, which is knowing Yahweh by knowing Yeshua, Jesus. You got it. And you will not die. And I love that, hey, we bring up that, hey, are we scared of physical death? Not really scared of it, but who wants to go through all that? Well, we don't, you know. But you're not going to die the death. That's been handled. That has been handled once for all time, is what it's talking about. So I don't know. I just hope it'll make you think, okay, about that. And maybe it changes your perspective You know, just about. What are you looking forward to? Okay. CF talked this morning about his friend, died last week. He said he is in the presence of the Lord. Well, when you're in the presence of the Lord, and he means full presence of the Lord with nothing that might interrupt that or impede that. So is there something better than that? Like come back to earth and pose for the bodybuilder magazine? Is that a better deal? No, he has reached his pinnacle, his full exaltation, his full glory. That's what the Bible means when it says we are exalted with Christ. We are glorified with him, positionally. We still carry around stuff that we call the flesh. But it's done. It's done. Jesus has conquered the last enemy, which is the death, brought on by the sin, which was from the law. Handled. 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 Okay, so what do you say? Any last comments?
And our Bible renders it in this case, and yet it doesn't always catch me like it should. I am the resurrection.
Yeah.
There isn't a bunch of resurrections. It's,
yes.
It's him.
Yes, it's him. Yes. 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 Anyway, there's much, much more you can study on the resurrection, but and we do that, we've done that, and even the wording, you get the wording cleaned up, and it sure seems to give you a better picture of what was being transitioned. Okay, they were moving from the death, which is separation from God, to the life, fully consummated, not able to lose it. Okay. And many times we say, sure, you can lose that life because we're reading our New Testament, and that's a transition period. And during the transition period, they were like the first people coming through the Exodus who did lose their relationship. They lost it, that one generation. All of them. They all died but two. Okay, last comments, anybody? Let's pray out. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for, Father, that you even stooped down to reveal yourself to us. May we understand what a privilege it is for us to study that, and may you open it up to us more and more. We just seek truth, not to win arguments. We just want to see what plan you accomplished and give you appropriate glory as much as we can. In Jesus' name, for his glory. Amen.